Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and there is a story that's been brewing for a month, at least in the pro-life news, and I've been remiss in not covering it to date, and I am so thrilled that Debbie Vintage has agreed to come on with us because this story is shocking about the use of embryonic cells. Cells from an aborted baby, an electively aborted baby, used to do basically taste testing for food companies. Debbie, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Oh, thank you, Bob, for having me on your show.
Well, it's an honor, and thank you for putting up with us rescheduling, Debbie.
That's okay.
I've been really looking forward to having you on. And this story, I first became aware of it through LifeSite News. And they reported that Pepsi, among other companies, had partnered with a biotech company. And could you fill us in on the details?
Certainly. There's a company by the name of Sonomics. Okay, Sonomics is, they're out in California. And they manufacture artificial flavor enhancers for foods, and such as, you know, salty or sweet or bitter or sour and so forth. Hmm. Their customers are companies like Pepsi Cola, Kraft Foods, mm-hmm. and Nestle's.
And Debbie, Nestle's is not just the cocoa company. They're a major conglomerate throughout much of the world in Europe
yes.
and elsewhere.
Yes, they are. And it becomes very difficult, in fact, because there's so many subsidiaries of these companies. Mm. One of the biggest questions people have asked me is, you know, which foods are they using it for? And I don't know that. I mean, we know some. We do know a couple. We just happened to find out some inside information on a couple at Nestle's. But we didn't know anything about the others.
All right.
Pepsi, which also, by the way, is very huge. They own companies like, they have Gatorade. They have Lipton. So like your Lipton teas and Lipton beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And Pepsi came right out and told us that their agreement with Sonomics was only to produce great tasting beverages with lower sugar it completely ignored the issue at hand, which was the fact that Sonomics uses aborted fetal cell lines that in order to test these taste enhancers.
This is just so gruesome. Now if we could stay with that part of the story for a little while and then get to what products may be involved. Sonomics, now I know how to spell it, but in my own mind to remember the name of the company,
uh-huh.
you know how they mix up ingredients and all, I think of it as sin, like
Ooh.
Like human sin, S-I-N, Sonomics.
Well, you want to hear something funny?
Yeah.
If anyone out there who has an iPad, if you were to type in Sonomics on your iPad and it's got that, you know, feature that auto-corrects the spelling.
Right.
It will auto-correct it to demonic.
Demonic.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, that is a trip. So Sonomics is actually S-E-N-O-M-Y-X.
Correct.
Sonomics. And so, yeah. Okay, they came up with a technique. Tell us more about the technique first.
Sure. What happened is Sonomics, they actually boast that they have over 800,000 different flavors, just unique different types of flavors for foods or for beverages.
Yeah.
But the human tongue can only recognize five. Mm. We recognize sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and one that's called umami, which means savory or delicious.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So the human tongue can only recognize five. But what they do, there are certain cells that will express proteins, and those proteins produce this chemical signal whenever those flavors are introduced to it. So they can tell whether they're on the right track. They can tell whether they're producing the right signal or the right flavor based on the cell sending them back a signal in their lab.
So what they've done is they have isolated human taste receptors. So they take a baby that was killed by an abortion. And I know we talk about elective abortion, and in a sense, every abortion is elective in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
because abortion is never necessary. But even in the life of the mother, of course, you save the mother, but you don't intentionally kill the baby. You try to save the baby, and if the baby dies, that's a tragedy. But this is an abortion where a woman was not dying or had not been raped. She wanted to kill her child in her womb, so she went, had an abortion, and they take that fetus and a part of the baby, and then they reproduce it. Which part of the baby, of that baby, are they reproducing?
What they did is they used the kidney from the baby. It's the name of the cell line, it's called, and I'll explain to you in a minute what a cell line is, actually, but they took, it's called HEK, which stands for human embryonic kidney. Now, in reality, that's not embryonic, because an embryo is only up to 8 weeks. In the stage of development
so
of the baby.
This is a fetus.
That's correct.
And they're fetal.
That's
so
right.
So we say embryonic stem cells, but these are fetal cells.
That's correct.
Right.
Right, because anything beyond 8 weeks becomes the fetal stage of development.
Right.
And obviously, if there was a kidney, then the baby was beyond 8 weeks.
Mm.
So what they did is they took the kidney, and then they create what's called a cell line. They take the cells from that, and they reproduce them in the lab. They let them grow in a petri dish, and then they'll take them and they'll freeze them in liquid nitrogen and take them out whenever they want to use them.
Mm.
And those cells will continuously replicate for a long time.
So, now, Debbie, I want to talk more about those cells. Sorry, I keep jumping back.
That's okay.
Now, you are the executive director of Children of God for Life.
Right.
And by the way, Debbie's last name, Vinage, is V-I-N-N-E-D-G-E, like Edge, Vinage,
right.
Debbie, D-E-B-I. So, Debbie, how did you end up in that position? What's prepared you in life to find out about this?
Well, you know, Bob, we've been doing this for 12 years, where Children of God for Life, our organization, was formed because 12 years ago, no one knew anything about embryonic stem cell research.
Mm.
No one knew at all what a stem cell was. And so there was a need in the pro-life movement to have a focus on a certain area, it seemed to me. Every time I would talk to someone, they would look at me like I was crazy, or are you talking about? What do you mean they're producing embryos and destroying them? And So there was a lot of information out there, misinformation too. So that was why we decided to focus on that area.
And since you and I have never spoken before, let me ask you a question out of the blue. See,
sure.
I'll be interested how you answer. Who would you say is the first U.S. president to actually fund embryonic stem cell research?
That would be George Bush.
George Bush.
Yep.
So
George Bush did it in 2001.
And he, as I understand, he never fought to ban the practice of fetal research or embryonic stem cell research. So he never fought to ban it, to outlaw it.
There's inhumane. Two different things. Oh, I'm sorry, Bob.
That's okay.
No, I was going to say there's two different things. I don't want to confuse your listeners. But embryonic stem cell research was funded under George Bush, but aborted fetal research was funded in 1992 under President Clinton. 93, actually, when he took office.
Okay, very, very good distinction. But neither ever tried to ban these practices.
That's correct.
So we not only have neither administration trying to outlaw it, we have both funding them.
That's correct.
So we are in a moral crisis in America.
Yes, we are. And, you know, under George Bush, what he did, he said he wanted federal dollars to only be used on those cell lines where the embryos had already been destroyed. That was his decision, that he thought that, you know, that way the taxpayers wouldn't be paying for the actual destruction of embryos.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was expanded under President Obama.
And, of course, it would be. Right.
Sure.
I mean, anyone in the world, regardless of their persuasion, could predict that that would happen. It would be like if we were in Germany with Dr. Mengele and the brutally wicked medical experiments that the Germans did during World War II on Jews and other innocents. And for the good guy to say, you know, I only want to fund the research on the Jews who've already been killed by Dr. Mengele.
That's right. And your analogy that you just brought up is a really good one, Bob, because people look at this a lot of times and they try to justify it, you know, whether they, just like even Pepsi and some of these companies have tried to do, Nestle's especially in a letter to me tried to justify the fact that that abortion was done a long time ago, you know, and we're just using those cells. And well, would we use the cells of the Nazi, of the people that were killed, the Jews that were mm-hmm. killed by the Nazis? Of course not.
Right.
We would never consider doing that. It would be a horrific thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like time diminishes the evil of abortion. It's not as though if the abortion was done today, 10 minutes ago, 10 years ago, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's still an act of evil.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's no way that these babies should be exploited this way.
By the way, Debbie, let me just remind my audience that a medical ethicist from Georgetown University, Dr. Diane Irving, has written a stunning article called Me and Mengele.
Yes.
Me and Mengele. Have you read that?
Yes, it's on our website, in fact.
Oh,
it's a wonderful article.
Yeah, and also at AmericanRightToLife.org, if you just put in the search bar Mengele, M-E-N-G-E-L-E, you'll find it. It's tremendous. All Christians should read that.
I agree with you. And Dr. Irving, in fact, studying under her, you know, she really helped me a lot in the beginning because there were so many questions that I had about stem cell research. And she herself, you know, had been a bench scientist at the National Institutes of Health before she moved on and, you know, got away from all that. So she has a very good knowledge,
yeah,
the way things are done as well.
And she's one of, I don't know how many historians, and especially medical ethicists, who have actually gone through at great length Mengele's handwritten notebooks in the Library of Science.
That's amazing.
And her research, and then, you know, how it culminates in that article she wrote, Me and Mengele, mm-hmm. just stunning. So
it is.
Mengele and me. So okay, so now I have a better idea, Debbie, that one of your mentors is Dr. Diane Irving.
Yes.
So I understand, you know, a bit now about the depth of your preparation, because she's the best of the best.
Absolutely, she is. She'd be delighted to hear you say that, Bob.
Yeah, she really is. Okay, so back to these cells now. This Sinomics,
yes.
They took an aborted fetus, and they took the kidney of that baby, and what did they do?
Well, Sinomics did not actually establish that cell line.
Okay.
I'll make that
right.
clear.
All right.
The cell line was already established. That cell line was actually created by a man by the name of Dr. Van der Ebb. Dr. Van der Ebb performed the abortion. He is from the Netherlands. And I can tell you that, see, with my work at Children of God for Life, we ran into this cell line several years ago when someone was questioning a drug that had some type of a human cell line involved, and they weren't really sure. So we went to the FDA to try to find the source of that cell line. And I actually had to end up filing a Freedom of Information Act to get the information. But in the meantime, before I would even get my response back from the FDA, Dr. Van der Ebb did some testifying at FDA hearings, and he talked about that cell line, and he explained that it was from a normal abortion. The parents were normal. Everything was fine. He said, but he lost all the data on it. They don't have any of the written data anymore.
Mm.
And so he said that you know, he knew that would be troublesome for the FDA.
And, it doesn't surprise me coming from someone who does an abortion. That seems to be par for the course.
Absolutely. That's right. They do not seem to have the moral shuddering that we do
right.
at such a thing.
Yeah,
anyway.
Like when, for example, when there's a lot of news about how many minors are getting abortions.
Yeah.
Well, then the abortion clinics, the abortion mills in that state, they simply underreport the number of minors getting abortions.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, and we act like an abortionist would never lie or lose records or misreport,
uh-huh.
which is so naive. Okay, so this doctor Van der Ebb in the Netherlands,
yes.
He actually did the abortion. And then what does it mean to start a cell line now, this HEK-293?
Well, what they do is they will, when I can assure you that there was more than just the kidney that they experimented with. When we look back at the way these researchers were working with aborted babies in the early 1960s, 70s, and so forth, they described very vividly what they did. And they would take the baby's organs, various organs, and sometimes it would be lung tissue or heart tissue or retinal tissue, and they would attempt to use it to produce a cell line that would grow nicely and stay stable in the labs and so forth.
So
and
when we talk, Debbie, when we talk about that, these are scientists who are harvesting parts of babies who are killed.
Absolutely.
We're not in any way exaggerating. This is what's happening.
Absolutely.
They're harvesting parts of dead babies.
Well, no, actually, they're harvesting the parts of live babies because, now, to explain to your listeners again, when a baby is going to be used in research, they cannot use a baby. They need to immediately dissect the baby. In some cases, in fact, in most cases, we know that the baby was most likely still alive when the baby was dissected. And that's because it's been documented by those researchers that were doing this, and they would report on how they would go in and extract the various organs and so forth. And the abortions were actually being done in Sweden. This is another group of cell lines that we have here in the United States that I'm describing to you now. Mm. And they would... because within the first 5 minutes of the death of the baby, those cells begin to deteriorate, and within an hour, they're totally useless. So you have to have someone there present whenever a baby is going to be used for research.
So, Debbie, a while ago, there were headlines out about liver transplants in America, and they reported that there was an amazing success rate of livers taken from cadavers and successful transplants. So that's something unique to a liver, but kidneys are not that way.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you're saying that because, you know, it's like heart transplants. You can't take a heart you can't do a heart transplant morally because you can't, the heart's still beating. It has to still be beating.
Mm-hmm.
And it really depends, you know, on how the dissection and all was done. I'm not really sure, and I couldn't tell you that on those liver transplants.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that what they would do this is recorded. This was actually recorded by a person. He's an immunologist, and right now his name escapes me. I should know it. I've talked about him so many times. But in any case, he wrote a story, an article, actually a book about the fetus as a transplant donor, and he described that what they would do whenever a baby was going to be used for research, and this is especially from Sweden, that they would do a prostaglandin abortion.
When they eject a large amount of a hormone to induce labor.
Yes, and I just remembered, his name is Dr. Peter McCullough. And so he described that what they would do is they would do the prostaglandin abortion, and 50% of the time the baby would be born alive. But they didn't do anything about it, using no anesthesia. They just went in and did the live dissection, would take those organs and cells and tissues.
Yeah, that's brutally cruel. So in a prostaglandin abortion, and I think generally that's not used routinely in the U.S. any longer. I think it was early on. There was a series done by the Philadelphia newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, back in 1981. It was called Abortion, the Dreaded Complication. They did an actual undercover series where a reporter was at abortion clinics when the abortion was performed and the baby did not die in the abortion. The baby survived the abortion, and then they killed the baby. That was what they called the dreaded complication.
That's right.
They would do prostaglandin abortions, and often the baby would be killed by the contractions because they were so violent, but then often the baby survived, and then they would kill the baby.
That's correct.
In America.
That's
in abortion
correct.
Clinics. That's how they did it.
That's right. And this is how, some of the other work that we do at Children of God for Life is we've monitored the use of these aborted fetal cell lines in medical products. They're in our childhood vaccines. They are in some cosmetics. The researchers that actually produce those cell lines are very graphically describing. They very graphically described how they obtained those organs and what they did. And it's horrific. It actually is horrific, Bob. had absolutely no idea. People think that, you know, there's this cell line and out there. I've heard all kinds of excuses about the whole vaccine issue, for example. Oh, well, you know, it was just a couple of abortions and it was a long time ago. Actually, that's not true. They did multiple abortions, several abortions. There were over 80 abortions done just to perfect the rubella vaccine that's used today. People don't understand that, have no idea. Have absolutely no idea. They don't know that they would try and they would try. It's just like with embryonic stem cells. They try and they try to create an embryonic cell line that's successful, and so far they haven't been successful.
Wow. We have often said, Debbie, and at American Right to Life's website, you could find this, that when we talk about the difference between adult stem cells and embryonic stem cells or fetal cells, that there's a tremendous success rate with adult stem cells.
Right.
But that is somewhat beside the point, because even if you could save the whole world by killing one child, it would be wrong, it would be wicked.
That's correct. That's right, Bob.
Yeah, so the fact that adult stem cells have worked so much better in actual clinical use, I mean, in one case, a certain form of blindness is being cured by putting adult stem cells on the inside of a contact lens. You put it on your eye, and a certain kind of blindness is now being cured. The treatments will be extraordinary. I mean, they've recently built a heart. Debbie, I don't know if you saw that, but they built a heart. They took a heart and scrubbed off all the soft tissue, just left the cartilage, and coated it with stem cells, and they regrew this person's human heart. These things are astounding, but if we're killing children to do them, then we become evil.
That's right.
And it's not worth saving the world in that way. You can't do it.
That's right.
Thank you for letting me preach, you know. I'm the pastor.
No, that's all right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I need about a million more people like you. That's okay.
This is what I usually preach. Yeah. So that's what Sonomics is up to.
Right.
They got this kidney cell line from this Dr. Van der Ebb in the Netherlands. And so then they develop a technology where they isolate human taste receptors.
Correct. Now, what they do, and what the thing is they don't need to use an aborted fetal cell line to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They could use animal cells. They could use insect cells. They could use an adult skin cell. You know, they don't have to use an aborted. There's no reason whatsoever to do that. None.
Well, you're right, but there's the reason I think that they have in their heart of hearts.
Economic.
Well, I think something else. I'm sure that's a big one. They like to justify the killing of unborn children by showing all the good that comes from it.
Oh, right. That's absolutely right. In fact, when President Clinton provided federal funding for aborted fetal research in 1993, it was because the pharmaceutical industry went to him and lobbied him and said, why, look, we've created this MMR vaccine and the polio vaccine using these aborted fetal cells, and we need to have this research funded. We need this. This is good. And he agreed.
Hmm.
So that is how we ended up getting that. The pharmaceutical companies lobbied for that.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so they didn't have to use these cells from this baby whose kidney was harvested almost certainly while he was still alive. They didn't have to do that, but they do it.
That's correct.
All right, and so now what do we do as Christians?
First of all, I'll tell you what we did. The first thing we did is we went to the CEO at Sonomics, and we, you know, wrote them a very nice letter and asked them to please stop doing this. We told them that there were other ways that they could be doing it. We knew that they didn't need to use the aborted fetal cell lines, and would they, reconsider doing that? And if we didn't hear from them, this was Kent Snyder, he's the CEO at Sonomics, we told them if we didn't hear from them, then we would go to their partners, because their partners are the food companies, the food giants we've talked about, Nestle's and
Kraft Foods.
Kraft Foods is Cadbury. It's actually Cadbury Adams division of Kraft Foods, so we've narrowed it down a little bit on that, too.
All right. Debbie, just to let you know, we have two more minutes, then we'll be at the end of the show.
All right. Well, then I'll go quickly. When Sonomics ignored us, then we went to the companies. And at the time, Campbell Soup was one of them as well, and so was Coca-Cola. Now, We wrote to Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola never responded, but they did sever their agreement with Sonomics. Campbell Soup did respond to us, and they said that it wasn't worth their customer relations. You know, they did not want to jeopardize their customer relations over this. Hmm. And we had never, we'd never heard one way or another whether they were going to actually stop. So when we did our press release, I got a phone call actually from Campbell Soup that morning within 2 hours of the press release going out, and they told us they had made a decision with their investors to stop it. And they also had Sonomics remove them from their website because they were still listed as a partner.
Wow.
So it was very good. I mean, Campbell's took it.
Congratulations,
to heart.
Debbie, absolutely. For that much success. Congratulations. And so what do we do now?
Now we need to go after the companies. We are especially looking at PepsiCo, because they have said it's being used in their beverages. That's an easy boycott. We're telling people to please write to the companies to tell them that they are boycotting them, to let them know. Pepsi has tried to lie to the public. This is why we're going to go after them. They have actually tried to say things like, oh, we don't use fetal tissue in our foods.
Right.
Well, of course they don't. We don't.
Right.
Never said that they did.
Right.
So they're trying to discredit the truth, and they're twisting the truth. So I encourage people, please go to our website. They can look at the letters that we have sent. They can look at the responses that we're getting from Pepsi and the different companies. And we have the address and the email and the phone numbers.
And so Pepsi beverages, including Diet Pepsi, Sierra
yep.
Mist,
yep.
Lipton Tea, Brisk Tea, and
they have
similar.
Many Gatorade, there's just Aquafina water. I mean, there's a lot. You can find it right on Pepsi's website, the list of their beverages.
All right. So the Pepsi beverages, I'm going to avoid them.
Cadbury gum.
All right.
That would be Trident gum, Bubblicious gum, Dentine gum, Hall's cough drops.
All right.
That's all Cadbury.
All right, Debbie, and then we really are out of time.
Okay.
So how do we follow up your website? You are the executive director
yes.
of Children of God for Life.
Correct.
Your website is?
www.cogfor, the word for, F-O-R, life, L-I-F-E, .org. So
all
it's
right.
cogforlife.org.
Cogforlife.org. Anything coming up in the next
weeks
or months?
We're going to be doing it. Yeah, we're going to go after Pepsi pretty hard. We have some other pro-life groups that are we're rallying together to do a joint boycott and to let them know, because we figure it'll send fair warning out to the others as well. We're coming after you next.
Well, Leslie Hanks, who set up this interview for us, a mutual friend, she's a longtime vice president of Colorado Right
yes.
to Life. She told me that Colorado Right to Life would be supporting the boycott. So
absolutely. That's wonderful.
Hey, Debbie, if you have just 1 minute after the end of the show, if you could hang on,
sure
I'd just
will.
Like to touch base a little bit more.
Okay.
Thank you for your
time,
Debbie.
Thank you, Bob. God
Debbie
bless.
Vintage and Children of God for Life. And also today, we had our next conversation with a Muslim from Chicago. More on that soon.